From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns with you as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments. Today we'll be looking once more at the fifth commandment, Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This commandment is vital for the welfare of our families, our homes, our churches, and our nation. It has a pertinent message for us all, so stay tuned. Before we turn to God's Word, let me encourage you to be in touch with us. Remember that we have some ongoing resources that we offer freely to all our listeners. Let me make special mention of a couple of them. First, we have our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD with brief doctrinal studies, and devotional messages, testimonies, and music. And then we have the April-June issue of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. This is an issue you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the people of God today. Abortion on demand, euthanasia, homosexuality, the Lord's Day. It has a vibrant missionary page and a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician. That's Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. Now you may have that or the devotional tape or CD, or indeed any of the other resources that we mention from time to time here on the program, by writing or calling us at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-877-LTBS 1-866-877-5827. I trust that you'll make sure to be in touch with us. We look forward to hearing from you.
No more, but the Master of the sea.
Our local newspaper reported that some 500 high school pupils had gathered to hear a presentation from police officers and a judge warning them of the consequences of underage drinking. One officer demonstrated administering a field sobriety test. Another spoke of the legal ramifications of a minor being found in possession of alcohol and warned of the exorbitant rates for auto insurance that would inevitably follow any conviction for driving while drunk. The judge told the young people that the good old days when parents could get charges dismissed by pulling strings with people of influence whom they knew were gone. It would be very difficult to make charges go away. Two of the four schools participating in the forum were public schools and two were church schools, one Roman Catholic and the other Episcopal. What took my attention was the response of a 17-year-old student from the Episcopal school. She felt that she had learned more about what can happen to those who drink while underage, but sounded glad that they didn't have to endure a sermon and how wrong it was to do so. According to her, teenagers were going to rebel against their parents in any number of ways. She said, "Kids are going to do what they think is cool, and they're going to rebel against their parents. It'll get to the kids a little better, explaining, not preaching." I'm not going to deal with the problem of underage drinking today. It's a huge problem all around the Western world. Teenage binge drinking is presenting a challenge that the authorities have thus far been utterly unable to solve. What interested me in the report was the attitude that said, "Don't preach to me on right or wrong. We're going to rebel against whatever you say on right and wrong anyway, so you'd be better to give us pragmatic reasons to avoid drinking. We may desist if we find out that the cost in terms of personal hardship is too high, but not because we learn from our parents that it's wrong." Now that's a troubling attitude. The teenage girl who voiced this sentiment has caught the mood of many, not only in her generation, but throughout society, and even, unfortunately, in many church congregations. Pragmatism, rather than any lofty idea of good and evil, rules the day in many quarters. Indeed, the notion that there is such a thing as right and wrong has fallen in hard times. Many so-called intellectuals who must at all costs defend their secular atheistic outlook cannot bring themselves to accept that there is such a thing as intrinsic evil. Public opinion, personal preference, unbridled license, and pragmatic considerations, for example, will it hurt me or cost me more than it's worth? These are the things that for many establish what's right and wrong. But the prevailing attitude is, don't preach to me. Don't tell me that something actually is right or wrong. Don't confront me with an authority higher than myself or my peers and our own self-interest. What is amazing is that you will find this attitude firmly entrenched in many a church. The preacher has become a communicator, not a prophet, an entertainer, not an expositor, a motivator, not a man who has come from the presence of the Almighty with a message that resounds with a "Thus saith the Lord." The little girl in Greenville was right. People will always rebel against what they are commanded to do. The Apostle Paul remarked on the same phenomenon. That's why preachers should remember that there is no saving power in the law. We must, however, preach the law. For whether men will hear or rebel, it is God's unchanging moral standard. And it's God's way of making men see and feel just how depraved and rebellious they are, and just how much they need the gift of the righteousness of Christ that His grace has provided for all who believe in Him. So we need more preaching, not less. Real preaching. Biblical preaching, faithful preaching, preaching that is conceived in the agony of a man of God seeking God for a message of power that will turn the rebellious hearts of sinners to his blessed Son. Only when God once again gives a race of such spirit-filled preachers to this nation will we see the rift that we need to see in the moral darkness that enshrouds our society. Return to the fifth commandment to consider the task that parents have of teaching their children how to take the long view of things, how to live in time for eternity. It's a very important thing that parents must teach their children by their discipline, and it's the need to take a long view of things. Children live for the moment. We all know that time means nothing to a child. Joan and I used to laugh when Frank was coming in from Bob Jones when he was knee-high to a grasshopper. Of course, he was knee-high to a grasshopper until he was 16. But, I mean, when he was very young, he'd come in and we'd say, well, how long did that go on for? He says, oh, about 11 minutes. Of course, he hadn't a clue what it was, 11 minutes or 11 hours. He hadn't a clue about time. Maybe a little bit like myself when I come to preach, haven't a clue about time either. But we all know that children live for the moment. To be denied something in this moment to a child can be excruciating. That's why parents find it so difficult to deny a child. I'm sure you've seen them in Kmart or Walmart or whatever other mart you go to, and there they're screaming, I want that! Oh, there it is, take it. They're only down the next, I want that. Well, give it to him. You know, you can't say no. You can't. I'll give you a dictionary. It's in big letters in my dictionary. But the agony for the child is real. It's real. It's not just simulated, though it can become simulated if it's indulged too often. But the trouble is the child lives just for the moment. He must be taught what it is to wait and to labor and even to suffer for the moment in order to achieve long-term benefit. Those old hands here from the days of Bob Jones Sr. will remember one of his famous recorded sermons on sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. We must teach children not to sacrifice permanent good for immediate pleasure or immediate indulgence. That's what a parent has got to train a child to do. Now let me be very frank with you. Parents will find that very difficult. If they themselves are living a life, for instance, where they're crushed by debt, because they could not discipline themselves to wait and see if they had an attack of the gimmies, I must have, I must have, I must have, and they can't pay. How can those parents teach children what it is patiently to endure? You can't do it. There's nobody in this world will tell the difference between walking the walk and talking the talk than a child. He knows. Again, if parents are playing fast and loose with their marriage vows, or they're giving themselves up to the indulgence of some of the other lusts of the flesh, they haven't a hope in the world of teaching their children the benefits of patient self-control. And those parents particularly who are sacrificing the eternal welfare of their souls because of momentary pleasure, will communicate that disdain for heaven to their children. Jesus asked, what will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There are parents who are not gaining the world, they're gaining just a little piece of the world, and they're willing to risk the damnation of their soul for all eternity for that little piece of the world, but yet at the same time they want to be able to rear their children and teach their children what it is to live with the long-term view. I tell you, it can't be done, for usually the child will not only listen to what you say, but far more importantly, he'll do what you do. Remember the old story of the man who came home in the dead of winter, looked in at home, saw the children, gave his little boy a lecture, told him what to do, said good night, stepped outside and started to walk through the snow on his way to the bar. You've all had that sense of someone following you. He had that, and he turned around and he saw a sight that changed his life. We saw a little boy walking through snow that was too deep for him and lifting up his legs and putting his feet in the very hole that his father had made in the snow. And that father that night recognized, my son does not only hear what I say, but he's putting his feet in the very prints that I have made. If he follows me where I'm going, he'll follow me to hell. The duties of parents. I'll come back, God willing, next week to deal with the duties of children. But I want you to understand me tonight that this domestic relationship, this domestic arrangement, this domestic happiness, this commitment of your whole self, this investment of your whole being, is next to your conversion to Christ the most important thing you're ever going to do in this life. If you have children, they are your most precious possessions. They are your most important possessions. And remember, they are immortal possessions. The duties of parents are great. How can we do it? How can anybody live up to this? The duties are there. I think there's not a parent here but is bound to feel, Lord, I am such a failure. And yet, the duties are given to instruct us, to encourage us, and to enable us. They're not given to depress us and defeat us and put us on a guilt trip. They are meant to be fruitful in our lives. When you consider these duties, how can you fulfill them? First, make sure you're saved. Second, make sure you yourself are walking with God. Understand the gospel. Understand how God the Father has treated you, and you as His representative will know how you should be a father. Understand the gospel. Understand grace. Let it thrill your heart what God in grace has done for your soul. And I tell you, the greatest equipment that any parent can have to do right in the home is to be living in the full experience of the gospel. You can express God's grace when you're experiencing God's grace. When you're living in the enjoyment of Christ, then you will be able to communicate that enjoyment in all your domestic relationships. The law tells us what to do. The gospel gives us the power to do it. May God teach us and then enable us to obey His word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. In just a moment, the meeting will be over. Can I say to you, if you're in this meeting tonight, a parent without Christ, it's an awesome responsibility that you have. You dare not try to do a parent's job while yet an enemy of God and of grace. Come to the Savior. I'm here as your servant for Christ's sake. I'd count it a privilege to open the Scriptures with you to point you to Christ. Maybe you're not a parent, but you're still not a Christian. The time to be saved is now. Do not go away from this meeting yet rebelling, but oh, come repenting and receiving Christ. I'll be happy to talk with you as the others leave and seek to point you to the Savior. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it on every heart. And Lord, we pray tonight that thou wilt give fruit for it. For, O Lord, we confess to thee that there's a great need for godly homes. A great need for godly instruction. A great need for parents to know what it is to walk with God. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless every parent in this place. Save every last one of them. Let not one of them be a parent without grace, without salvation. Unite their families in Christ. Bring these little ones early in life to the Savior. And, O God, we pray that Thou wilt make the homes in this congregation strong, scriptural, godly, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, joyful, heavenly homes. O God, give us such homes, we pray. So hear our prayer. Write thy word on every heart. And as we separate one from another, Lord, separate us with thy blessing. Grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, will be our portion tonight and evermore. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake. Amen. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.